Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 337.
Why not? Sure.
The Shape of Water.
You mean Abe Sapien the movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, that's it. Go home. Close it up.
We can't. That's it. 26 that's seconds it. In.
Yeah.
Podcast over.
Yeah.
You've been warned.
We cannot
warned.
Do anything else besides that. Oh,
well done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say. Once
no.
you go Black Lagoon.
Apparently, you never
yeah.
go back.
Yeah.
To your house.
To your house. So, spoiler.
Yeah.
Before we get too far into this, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Shameless plugs real quick. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it, and it helps us tremendously and all of that. So don't forget, we're available on the Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers, where you can join the League of Show Sharers. So there, that's enough of that. Ugh. Now, 1, 2, 3, go, Shape of Water.
We're going to get torn apart on this.
No, and we're not. Well, okay.
No.
But
this,
we're right.
This is a movie that the art house film community, I don't want to call them all pretentious, but the ones that are pretentious love this movie and have been talking about it and wanted to get all the awards and are mad when the New York film critics didn't have it win.
It's like DC movie fans.
Yeah, when the National Movie Board didn't put it on their stuff and it didn't win. Like, everyone in the art house film community is so mad that this isn't getting nominated and isn't winning. And so I'm just telling you right.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that she fucks a fish?
That is one major.
I could not believe that happened.
And like, it was just normal. It was just a throwaway. Like,
and nobody says
nobody
anything.
Nobody batted an eye. Like, they thought it was beautiful, like romantic.
Octavia Spencer, right?
Is it
Octavia Spencer?
How does it? Oh.
She's just like, well, good for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, that's probably illegal.
Yeah.
It's called bestiality.
It really.
But he walks upright, so.
But it really goes one step too far because he is this creature. He's not a human, no matter what he looks like. I mean,
she
I guess,
rapes him.
But I guess, well, I don't know about that, but like, whatever, a gorilla, an ape, like, they can stand up or look kind of like humans. Like, it's too, how is that acceptable? Like, they just went one step too far. By doing that, it just made it like, it's okay to.
I think some of it is because they never truly convey how intelligent the creature is. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that the creature is intelligent.
He speaks in sign language. It is intelligent.
But so do gorillas.
Yeah,
true.
Right? We've taught gorillas and chimps to speak with sign language. So, so that in and of itself is not proof of like this is a higher thinking species like a human.
He was able to learn sign language from her,
but rudimentary.
Yeah,
he wasn't expressing complex thoughts.
No, he egg.
Yeah,
and do that again.
Yeah,
like that's
harder, faster.
Right.
Yeah,
choke me.
That thing with your tongue. Like that's as far as it got.
Where's Dan when you need him?
I know.
Like once you do that though and make it acceptable, it's just too weird. It's too.
It.
It's like now they both smell like fish.
Yeah, great.
And so
perfect.
Now I guess you could compare it to like Beauty and the Beast, but the Beast is really a person who's been enchanted.
Yeah, but well, I will say one of the things I find potentially interesting is, you know, this is a reoccurring theme throughout fairy tales, and but they never actually get to the point of explaining how does tab A go into slot B.
But Belle doesn't bang the Beast while he's the Beast.
Right. There's always these plot contrivances that prevent that from happening,
right,
which is good, was what I think is normally referred to as good taste.
Smart, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But so it's like, but again, the Princess and the Frog, the frog is a prince and she doesn't have sex with a frog.
Right.
Beauty and the Beast, he's a prince that was turned into a beast. She falls in love with him in like a friendship type way. And
she
then,
falls in love with his personality.
Yes.
Then he reverts
then he
back
turns,
to human form.
And then they get it on.
For the banging.
Right. To the break of dawn.
Yeah.
So this is different in the fact that this is not, unless, I mean, this isn't their movie, so it's not.
No.
But he is not a prince turned into a sea creature.
Honestly,
he's an animal.
I honestly think this is an Abe Sapien movie that Del Toro wanted to do, and Hellboy is gone. Like, he is not going to have anything to do with that new Hellboy. It's going to be its own David Harbour from Stranger Things, and Ian McShane and Mila Jovovich are in that. Like, that's their own. Hellboy's getting
Jovovich.
It's not Seeds of Destruction. It's a storyline from Hellboy.
But the point is, he's telling the story that none of these fairy tales tell is, yeah, they fall in love and then they turn to a human and they live happily ever after. This is like, yeah, this is a sea creature and we're going to bang it out.
Yeah.
For all of its art house sheen.
Yeah.
And it is a great looking movie.
It's a Corman movie.
It's a beautiful
it's
looking
movie.
It's
a great looking movie.
Beautiful.
I love this movie the first time I saw it when it was called Splash.
Oh, with a doll, with a mermaid?
This is Splash.
It is Splash.
It's totally Splash.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of
a
thinking
creature
that,
from the sea comes out. You have a lonely, human who takes them in, hides them in their
the bathtub.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, there's an evil scientist trying to catch them.
Well, the scientist isn't evil.
What's that?
The scientist is evil.
And
well, I mean, he's evil based on Russian.
And Splash.
In this, I mean. Like, the scientist is kind of the good guy.
You're talking
in
about
this.
Splash?
I'm talking about Splash.
Splash.
Okay.
Okay. Well, and I was considering Michael
Shannon.
Michael Shannon.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Is an evil scientist. Is trying to capture
Oh,
them.
You mean the hero of this film?
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Shannon's doing his job.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, she's stealing government property.
She steals a one-of-a-kind amphibian life form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's in love with it,
and
so
he's also
okay.
trying to stop the Russians and whatnot. Like, Michael Shannon is the not doing anything wrong here.
Yeah.
Well, he does get a little rapey.
He does get a little rapey.
Does he?
He gets a little rapey in the one scene.
He does it twice.
I just meant his work ethic, gentlemen. Yeah. I don't know what he's
I don't think
on.
We're allowed to separate those two anymore.
Okay.
I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, and then your protagonist gets the creature back to the sea.
Right.
And then the creature then brings the human into their world,
right,
and even grants them breathing powers via a kiss.
Oh, wow.
It is Splash.
It is Splash.
When I was watching the movie,
that's crazy.
I couldn't put my finger on it, but I'm like, I've seen this before. I'm like, this is not an original story, and I couldn't think of what movie it was, but seriously, the whole time I'm like, this is not groundbreaking. This is actually something we've seen before, and that's exactly what it is.
Man, I didn't even think about that.
But the film, like you mentioned, is beautiful. I love the shots, the colors. The creature is practical effects with, obviously, I think some like CG, like for the eyes, maybe a little touch-up. But
right.
I think Spath said, Doug Jones took off his human skin, like took off his human suit, and just got back into doing whatever. Because Doug Jones was Abe Sapien in the first Hellboy.
Okay. Right.
And then
it was Seth MacFarlane, right?
No, what?
No.
David Hyde Pierce.
Okay.
David Hyde Pierce came in and did... So Doug Jones did the voice. Maybe Seth MacFarlane did the voice in the first one, but David Hyde Pierce came in and did the voice
Seth
in the second
MacFarlane
one.
Played somebody.
Hmm. Interesting. In that first Hellboy? In
the second one.
Oh, I don't know.
But the creature, clearly, I mean, this is Guillermo del Toro,
and
he directed Hellboy. Like, the creature
he directed not only, like, Blade 2 and... both Hellboys.
But I just mean for the Abe Sapien angle.
Sure.
Like, this creature looks
just like
Abe Sapien.
Looks just like a... Like, Abe Sapien doesn't have the gills. Like, he doesn't have those big gills on the sides, but it's the same color. It's the same, basically the same scheme. They just, I almost feel like it was an Abe Sapien suit that they just added to make it look like not Abe Sapien. You
know, Abe Sapien is intelligent.
Oh, yeah.
Are we saying this could be a prequel in some, like, not saying it is, it could be where he does learn and become intelligent.
I wonder if, I mean, I don't think they're ever going to try, I don't think the goal here is to tie it into Hellboy.
No.
But I wonder if there was a Hellboy script that got reworked. I mean, like, if you watch, what was the show, the sitcom, like, Grace, where they, something Grace, or...
Grace!
Where they...
Will and Grace?
No, the guy...
Grace Under Fire?
The guy adopts has a baby, and he has to raise it, and they're, like, real kind of like...
Punky Brewster.
Saving Grace, or something.
Raising Grace.
No, it's his baby.
Or is it Raising Hope?
Raising Hope. It's his baby.
Right. It's his baby. He gets a serial killer pregnant, but it's like a wacky sitcom.
Yeah.
Well, that was from the makers of My Name is Earl. And I watched My Name is Earl, and I watched the first two or three seasons of Raising Hope. And when you can tell.
This was a script.
Because the last season of Saving of Raising Earl.
Hope. Oh.
He like gets a baby, and then the show got canceled. Oh. And you can tell some of these scripts were clearly intended to be My Name is Earl scripts.
Gotcha.
That they refurbished and retrofitted to Raising Hope. And
okay.
I wonder if that's what's going on here.
I think that's what, I mean, it is, this feels like, it looks like a Hellboy movie.
Yeah.
Some of the characters a little, but.
And Seth MacFarlane was Johann Kreutz.
I was going to say, I thought he was the guy. Yeah. Man, I love those books. That's some good books. That's some good booking. That's some good comic booking right there.
So the story is about this mute girl.
Yeah, so
who works in a government laboratory.
Right, and she has this weird roommate that is a former advertising artist, but now everything is starting to go to photographs. And he was a painter, so he cannot get work. But they kind of allude that something had happened.
That he had some sort of drinking problem. Things went crazy.
Yeah.
He pulled a madman.
That's true. Yeah.
Richard Jenkins is good in everything.
He is.
He is.
He's so good.
And I think I like Michael Shannon in this when he just goes crazy.
Fantastic too. Yeah.
Like when he's allowed to just be like, yeah, go nuts.
If Heath Ledger hadn't died, he would have, I think, won Best Supporting Actor for Revolutionary Road.
Oh, probably. Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. But he didn't. So, nah. General Zod did not beat the Joker.
Because he didn't live.
That's true. Neither one of them did, so it doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so she kind of, like, you know, has this routine, and that's a thing in this movie that happens a lot. Her routine, I mean. So she gets to work, and they wheel in this giant tank, and inside the tank is Abe Sapien. And she, like, they allude that there's immediately a connection between the two. Like, she kind of puts her hand on the glass and he responds. And her life is pretty boring. Like, she gets herself off apparently once a day to the egg timer, which I was more shocked at how graphic it was for a movie. Like, they don't really cut away from anything.
You don't get a close up of her.
Well, but it's one leg over the tub and like water flying everywhere.
I think they wanted to make sure you knew.
She's sexual.
Because she throws her leg over the tub very dramatically.
That's true.
And I think that was more for the viewer's sake to be like, so there's no mistaking.
This is what we're doing.
She's rubbing one out.
Right. Yeah. And she's taking care of business.
I think that was a good choice because, one, who doesn't like to watch a lady rub one out? But two...
Oh, let me just reach for this maraca here.
Yeah, yeah. Dan's like, of all the episodes to miss. But two, I think because she doesn't talk, it would be very easy to kind of infantilize her and make her very cutesy.
I see that.
And I think that this is their way of establishing...
She's an adult.
...from Jump Street that just because she can't talk... doesn't mean that she's, like, you also don't want to mistake her for, like, simple or, you know,
yeah,
slow.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
fair.
I think that's kind of their way of saying that she's not those things. And also, yeah, that she's sexual.
Right.
Because I think it is jarring as...
What happens?
As fish sex can be.
I think, like, boop, boop.
I think it would be even more jarring if, like, you're going through this thinking she's this innocent little creature that has never experienced things. I think they want you to know that she's not choosing this fish creature because she can't get something else.
She's just into the fish creature.
She likes fish.
She likes fish.
Yeah. She likes some hot girl on gill action.
She's just sticking her fingers in his gill.
So the only thing I can think of, so I haven't read any, you know, this movie is pretty new, so I haven't read any in-depth analysis. I haven't heard interviews from Del Toro. I don't know if he's giving them yet, but what I'm guessing here is there's some deeper, smarter meaning about people that look different.
Oh, that's exactly what
I mean.
This
it's
is.
This is some kind of allegory,
yeah,
that they're trying to shove down our throats. Well, I mean, clear. It's very heavy-handed with what they're doing.
I mean, better than fish penis. That's why I always say. Yeah.
So but it just didn't work for me. Whatever they're trying to say about being different, and you know, the government is doing these experiments and keep him in captivity because he's different than us, and we don't understand him.
We don't want the Ruskies to get him.
Yeah, let's destroy him. And yet, this is love that is blind. You know, right? As Tommy Wiseau would say, love is blind. So
I get frustrated with films that look back on the Cold War with
fondness?
Not with fondness, but like, weren't we silly to be scared of the Russians? And it's like, well, the reason that we can say that is because we won.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
Mother Trucker, I'm scared of the Russians now.
Yeah. So it's like there's this kind of notion in film that's like, oh, it was never really that big of a threat. No, it was.
Right.
It was that big of a threat.
They jokingly talk about a doomsday clock. Like, that was legit.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a joke.
Do they try to downplay it in this movie?
Well, I feel like the tone of the film is that it's the U.S. government who's the real threat. Like, it's the Russian scientist, you know, flips and, like, wants to save the fish.
Right.
And does the right thing.
Oh,
and,
I see.
You know, and that it's the government that's real. And there's even the scene towards the end where which I did like. It was probably my favorite scene, where the general's like, you know, decency. No, that's something we export.
Yeah, right, like,
That
was a good line.
Because we don't need it. Like, that's something we sell to the public. Mm. You know, I did like that line, and I think it's
was that the general that said that?
Yeah,
yeah.
And so he's like, so don't sell me on your decency because I don't care. Yeah, but
decency didn't win wars, son.
Yeah, but there, like I said, there's just this kind of tendency to look back at the Cold War. It's like, oh, we were so silly to ever be scared.
What was it? It was 13 days? Was that the
13 hours?
13
with
hours?
No,
13 days was the
Cuban Missile Crisis. Oh, that's right. What that was. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, so she, there's an accident at the plant where Michael Shannon comes out. So Michael Shannon is brought on as like the head of security of this place. And immediately he's doing the Michael Shannon thing where he's a whack job. He's crazy. He's good at it. Like that's his wheelhouse, you know? Like when he gets shipped off to the Phantom Zone in a crystal penis, like that's he's still yelling it.
Wouldn't you be a little wacky if you were sent to the Phantom Zone in a rocket penis? Yeah, you'd
that's
be mad.
That's my favorite Elton John song. Because I'm a rocket penis.
Rocket penis.
Rocket penis.
Shake that maraca.
To the beat. Rocket penis.
So
hit it.
No, I'm not going to hit it.
Did you just ask him to hit your penis?
That's exactly what happened. That's why I said I'm not going to do it. Actually, you know what, Kevin? I'm offended.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
assault.
Matt Lauer. You got a button over there?
Excuse me. I asked. I didn't force myself on you.
Yeah, and you have no power over us.
Yeah,
so
that's also true. Yeah. So he comes out of this. He comes out of the chamber, and he's got blood all over him, and he's grabbing his fingers. And we're led to believe, well, not led to believe, the creature bit off two of his fingers. So they send in.
Pretty gross.
But you know what? Like, so Del Toro, like, he was a gross director.
Oh, yeah.
In the words of Dan, he was gooey.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a while. And then, like,
Kronos.
Kronos.
Mimic? Was it Mimic or?
Mimic, I think, was him. Blade 2.
Bugs, goo. It's just, he's very.
Visceral
gooey,
is the best way to
describe
it.
He loves to make movies with bugs and creatures and blood and goo. And it's not like a violent gore. It's just like a gross.
Gross.
Just, yeah.
But and then he kind of stopped that with Hellboy, like Hellboy 1 and 2. And that's when he started to get into the creature features.
And Pan's Labyrinth
was
Pan's
Labyrinth for sure. And then like the Devil's Backbone. But that was more of a ghost story. There wasn't a lot of goo in that.
Did he just do that Tom Hiddleston one?
He did. And I don't think, I didn't see that.
I bought it and I still haven't watched it.
Did you see that?
The Tom Hiddleston.
The Haunted House movie?
No,
Crimson Peak?
Crimson Peak, yeah. But I don't know if that was a straight up ghost story, if there was like the...
Which I also wonder if that's another retooled script, because for a long time he was attached to a Disney Haunted Mansion property.
Oh, that's true. He was. Oh. Is that gone? Is that dead?
Probably I don't know.
Not. Disney doesn't kill anything.
Nothing's ever dead.
At Disney. That's true.
Yeah, Walt's head is still in that jar.
Yeah, exactly.
So
the only thing dead is John Lasseter's career.
Yeah, game over, bro.
And that short before Coco.
Yeah, man.
Gone.
Is that right? It's gone completely?
This week, yeah.
Oh, was it a one-time thing or was it?
I think it was supposed to be limited anyway, but now everyone's like, oh, good, it's gone. Like Dan even mentioned it. I think it was a limited engagement.
Okay.
Type. Yeah.
I also saw that there are parts of Fox that the Disney and Fox talks have kicked back up.
Oh, yeah.
And there are parts of Fox that Disney will buy. And I was like, oh, you mean the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, and all of the Marvel stuff? Yeah. How much money would a Marvel Studios X-Men movie make?
Jeez.
Like, good. If you think those
ones
are...
like an Avengers and X-Men?
You could even put, like, just Wolverine.
I know, but think about
like,
this.
Oh, like, here's an extra $1 billion.
Everyone's freaking out over Infinity War with all those characters. Imagine adding all the Fox Marvel stuff
into
it.
Not even that.
It, like,
all you gotta do? There was a... Was it 4 issues? The Avengers versus X-Men?
Yeah.
Like, just mind-blowing. Like,
done. Like, here's all of the money in the world. Here, Disney.
I think we
love you.
I think there's something like, I don't remember, but I read it a while ago. I think there's 70-something characters in Avengers.
Which makes
Infinity
me think
War.
That the Netflix stuff has to show up. Like, if you have 70 characters, they don't have 70 characters yet. I don't think.
I don't know. They'd probably show you Coulson or something, or show you...
Yeah, whatever. Daredevil. Daredevil's like, man, I'm not dealing with that. Look at that crazy, that giant spaceman.
Yeah.
I'm a stupid blind
guy. I don't
know,
DC doesn't cross over, but maybe Marvel will. You know how DC has their different, their cinematic actors, and their... Maybe they will put Punisher and Daredevil.
Crisis on Earth X.
Yeah. Is it good?
Oh, it's so good. The DC shows are great.
I know, but
don't worry about Arrow. You can watch Flash and Supergirl and Legends.
Arrow I've watched in 2.5 seasons. I'm like, this is unbearable.
All right, whatever.
Oliver and Felicity. Like that whole thing.
So
just
you know that's what happened.
That's
what happened to Smallville, remember? Like when Lana and Clark got together.
Boo. Yeah.
In the pits.
Give me a break.
Yeah. They go in and they Octavia Spencer's in this Academy Award winning Octavia Spencer. Halloween 2's Octavia Spencer. She's in the Rob Zombie remake.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
no, well, I was like, wait, is she
no?
She's
Academy Award winner Octavia Spencer's also in the crappy Divergent Insurgent. Remember?
She is in that. That's right. Yeah. Well, you
gotta. She's gotta work.
Get that paycheck.
Totally, and she's good and everything. It's not ever her. It's just
did she win for The Help? Is that what she won for?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So they go in and they're cleaning out.
They make her kind of a maid in this too, which is interesting. She's a janitor.
Yeah.
And she's doing laundry and stuff.
And she's constantly talking about her husband.
I wonder if that was like, yeah, remember this actress in this award winning role? Like, this is her.
So they go in there, they clean it up, and they end up finding the two fingers, and the one has like a wedding ring still attached to it. So,
Just gets so gross with reattaching them and just...
Ugh. The reattaching wasn't the problem.
I know, but
it was what happened after the reattachment
that's like,
the problem.
Oozing, pus coming out of them.
But you don't see that until later. He's just like, oh, man, that doesn't look right.
But he's always walking around with these
miscolored...
It's
still the second grossest thing in the movie.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd rather watch him pull his own fingers off than see his, you know. We go and he's sitting there with his hand all bandaged up, and he's like, I appreciate you get the ladies finding my fingers, and the mute is just
apparently finding fingers is what she excels at
very well.
Or
I don't know if
fingers
she'd
finding
get,
her.
Yeah, I don't know if she wanted to get fingered.
What was Michael Shannon trying to do that creature when the fingers got cut off?
That's a good question,
right?
That thing does have claws though. Like you should probably not put those fingers anywhere near. Yeah. The money
that
pit.
Was a mistake.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Did you say the money pit?
Yeah. Like this movie.
My word.
So she, you know, she hands him back the wedding ring, and he was like, "Thank you very much." And he's constantly eating these candy, and he just has these
he
weird
loves candy. I love the old candies that like he's eating, like taffy, and
it was
eating...
always the one. Like he's got the one kind of candy that he likes.
The little
but it's
square
just like
candies,
weird idiosyncrasies that this character has that I feel like Shannon came on set and was just kind of like.
Well, yeah, these are my candies.
No, my guy eats candy. That's what he does. And Del Toro's just like, whatever.
It was weird and creepy. Like, I liked that he always ate the same candy and even talks about it
later. Yeah.
So
now the fingers are a thing. Like,
well, Zod learned that from Lex Luthor.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Right there in the
weirdest. Is that weirdest product placement ever? I'm still pretty sure it is. I'm not saying there's not weirder scenes, but that specifically is product placement.
Yeah.
Has there ever been weirder product placement?
You know, Jolly Ranchers is like, son of a...
That's not really what we what had in mind.
Like, we thought Superman was going to eat a Jolly Rancher.
A dish in his office. Like, you no. can tell that...
Here, put this in your mouth.
No, you can tell Eisenberg was like, just go with it. This is going to be really weird. And he was right. Jolly Rancher,
you know,
stock
that,
dropped.
You know that guy, the actor
whatever,
is just
kind
of like, oh, my career is over.
Yeah.
I'm always gonna be the Jolly Rancher.
See, I'm my generation's Ned Beatty.
Oh. I have network, for Christ's sake. Nope, squeal like a pig.
Squeal
boy.
Like a pig.
Oh.
So she goes, and this is where like they kind of have an interaction the first time. She sits down next to the tank and
eats her lunch.
She's eating her lunch, but she cracks open the egg, and the creature
like
swims over and snatches the egg very. Childlike.
Oh, he snatches her eggs.
Oh, he snatches
I think,
of the eggs.
I was going to say, I think that was actually him trying to convey like something like subconsciously, like,
can I have your eggs?
Yeah.
Are they your eggs? That's what's happening right now.
Are you ovulating?
And Dan.
This is all a setup.
Dan has turned off the episode by now. He's not even listening.
Do you only eat lunch once every 28 days?
So now this relationship has started to build where she's bringing a record player to work, and they're sitting there, they're listening to music. While all of this is going on, we've got the doctor who is, wasn't he?
Oh, the Ruski? Or
the Ruski. Who is that guy? Like, he was in a Harry Potter movie.
He was really good. I couldn't.
Yeah. He's the weird guy in Men in Black 3 with like, that can change time. I feel like he was young Dumbledore.
Oh, interesting. I'm looking
He was
him
just
up
in
right
something
now.
Else that we saw too that we're like, that's going to
yeah,
be
Yeah, he a, looked familiar.
That's going to be a guy.
I'll look him up. Keep going.
So it turns out he's a double agent. He's a Russian, and he's going to steal the creature because they know he has some power or some ability that will effectively win them the war.
Is that him?
If that's him, that's not who I thought that was. No, that's the guy. That's Shannon's partner.
Oh, Michael Stuhlbarg?
Gambon.
No. Michael Gambon is actually Dumbledore.
Oh, yeah. That's
like
right.
Old Dumbledore.
Old Dumbledore. So now we've got
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's Michael Stuhlbarg.
There you go.
He was in Doctor Strange, Arrival, A Serious Man, Steve Jobs, Men in Black 3, Trumbo with Cranston, Pawn Sacrifice with a chess movie with Wahlberg. So this guy's been in a lot of stuff.
I think he was a young Dumbledore in something.
Probably
what
a Harry
else
Potter
would there
movie.
Be?
Oh, that Fantastic Beasts.
He really only got one place to play a young
wasn't
Dumbledore.
Wasn't he in the Fantastic Beasts?
No.
Anyway.
Okay. Yeah, so now that this... While all that is going on, we've got this third storyline of the artist neighbor who's trying to pick up on this pie shop owner who is like, you've got so many storylines that it's hard to keep up, but you've also got Del Toro.
I'll tell you what, it's hard to keep up when that last scene's coming.
Apparently it's not.
Well, not for them, but.
But Del Toro is jerking off over the 1920s cinema.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, that's
also,
what it is.
I think it's more like 40s, but yeah.
Also,
okay.
Well, Del Toro's a huge gamer. This is BioShock. I don't know if you've ever played that game. BioShock is a beautiful, beautiful game. There's three of them.
Is it steampunk?
It's futuristic with machinery, but it takes place in the like 20s and 30s. All life has gone underground,
okay. But
there's zombies and monsters. So Del Toro is a huge gamer, and this aesthetic comes straight out of BioShock. There's BioShock, BioShock 2, and BioShock Infinite. It's a trilogy. It's over now. All the games are fantastic. 2 is the weakest, but still good. And they're beautiful games because they take a very similar aesthetic. everything from the music, the creepy, like old-timey music they play, and then the kind of like dirty, but then you've got the technology stuff. I have to think that was a direct inspiration.
Could have been. It's very possible. So, I mean, knowing that and watching this movie, it's
if
very
you're
possible.
A gamer, BioShock, I mean, if you look it up, you'll be like, yeah, that's...
I think it's cute you have time to play. I have time to play a game. Uncharted 4 is still sitting unplayed on my system.
Well, BioShock...
I'm still trying to beat Pitfall 2.
Good luck.
Well, BioShock...
That one's a bitch, man. Dragon's Lair.
Yeah.
I think BioShock Infinite came out in 2013. So, I mean, they're new games, but yeah, they're good.
So, now she's like... They have devised this... there's two plans. The plan is for if they're going to dissect this creature, and the Americans are, because that's what we do. And they're going to collect all the information that we can from this thing.
Kill it. Open it up.
The Russians are going to take it. And if they can't take it, they're going to kill it. And then you've got the girl who's just like, I'm just going to take it.
Well,
I'm just like,
she's
going
to take it.
You know, every which way but loose. Yeah.
I got you, Dan. I know somewhere he's cringing. Yeah, he has like a spider sense.
He does.
He's just
like, I feel like Joe just said something stupid. I was like, welcome to the episode, Dan.
We're going to get a text message like, I'm having some really weird feeling. Are you guys podcasting?
Dan's
right now?
Phone's going off. He actually has this room set up for Siri alerts whenever I say something.
That sounds right. Whenever you say something, that's pretty accurate.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So they kidnap the creature, right? So the woman, they're not going to delay the autopsy. They're gonna kill this thing.
Yeah.
So the Russian sees that this girl knows this. The Russian scientist flips on
Dmitri
flips on the Russians. So he's a double agent,
but not like for his feelings. Like he doesn't
do it for country anything, but he does not want to kill this creature.
He wants to protect the creature.
He is a scientist. Even though he's a Russian agent, he is a scientist and cares about
science.
This creature, that no one's ever seen anything like it.
Right. So he helps the girl with the escape. He's just like, you need to keep it in water. You need to put like these Epsom salt balls in his, I don't know what it is, in the water to keep it as salt water. It needs to be this.
You need to have sex with it. That's just kind of
a lot.
Yeah.
All the time. There was one moment where I thought the creature was going to be like, well, we're going to do that again, right? Like, that was the thing we're going to do.
He starts talking. He's like,
yeah.
Hey, baby.
She's like, I didn't know you could talk. And he's like, I didn't know you could talk. That was another weird scene. Like, there's a whole, like, musical interlude where she starts singing and dancing. And I'm just like, I hate this movie.
See, I like art house. I like artistic movies. I like weird movies. This movie just, I did not get. I did not like what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
It didn't work for me. Even with the weirdness and the beautiful aesthetic, I just didn't like it.
No.
It.
So they devised this plan, and somehow a custodian and a gay out-of-work painter are able to take a top secret brand new life form in the back of a laundry truck and get it out of this place and into their apartment. Sure. Why not?
Well, the Russian guy had that thing that would shut down their
he had cameras. Not an EMP.
Yeah.
Like, which is
like a mini EMP.
But before there were EMPs.
Right.
Like, we're just going to blow up the fuse box. Sure. Okay.
For five minutes.
This is also, I think, like BioShock, this is playing on the futuristic technology. Like, this is set in the past.
Oh, I see.
But they also keeping creatures and these tanks. And
yeah.
Like, it's like older, but for example, there's a new game. I'll give you another game reference. Dustin will appreciate it. So Wolfenstein 2 is out now.
Yeah.
And it is
shooting Nazis.
It's about the Nazis won World War II, and
so
the world has changed.
What was that other game that was like that?
Well, it's the movie. It was the Amazon show. Man in the High Castle.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
Wolfenstein 2 takes it that the Nazis win. You actually see Hitler in the game. But the point is that this is still 1940s, 1950s, but there are also like spaceships with Nazi logos on them that they've landed on Venus.
When you need them.
And, you know, so like it's futuristic, but set in the 50s. And I think that's what this is doing, where it's that futuristic past. You know, the technology is more advanced.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It's a cool concept when executed properly.
That's fair, yeah. But it's not here, so it's stupid. So she takes him home, and...
The bathroom?
The bathroom. So they get him in the tub,
This just makes me more frustrated because of like what this would cause. Like it just like
plugging that scene
in the bathroom. Okay. Like I'm just like this just
which
makes
is
me
physically
mad.
Impossible.
Yeah, first of all, it wouldn't work. No. Second of all, it just the fact that you would cause so much damage. So you, like go to the freaking lake or something.
I
you
also
know,
would,
just,
if I owned that theater underneath, I would have been livid. Yeah.
So they live
all.
Above a theater.
Yeah, like an old timey one screen. Giant yeah.
used to be a vaudeville house.
Yeah, that's
or,
now
the Orpheum was a vaudeville circuit.
So that's a real that is a real thing, right?
Or Orpheum was the, Orpheum the two big vaudeville circuits were Fox and Orpheum.
Okay,
and then Fox became Fox
movies,
and Orpheum just kind of
soon to be
went poof.
Disney movies. Yeah. Did they have any? Oh, I wonder if they could get the fanfare for Star Wars.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Like, that was a big
deal. Well, if they owned it, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. Like, if they... Disney's just like, we're buying
you know
it.
I wonder if they would go and put it back on
the
other
question.
One. I mean, I don't know.
You couldn't call it 20th Century Fox, though. You'd
yeah.
call it something else.
I mean, you don't normally go back and tinker with movies like Star Wars, though.
No, nobody would ever do that.
did you guys notice that what day Avengers Infinity War comes out?
No.
I think it comes out on May the 4th.
No, it doesn't.
It's either maybe it's May 5th, but I feel like it's May the 4th.
Disney's just like, we got it all.
Yeah.
I don't even care.
Like, that's hilarious to not release Star Wars on May the 4th.
We're gonna do an Avengers
But Avengers
movie.
Comes out on May the 4th.
Avengers is
going to
make
Day.
More money than... Yeah. That's the question. Is it going to make more money than Last Jedi?
It has a $500 million budget.
So it has to.
Yeah, they need it to. I think it will, but yeah. Geez.
That'd be interesting. Disney's just like, how much money can we make on a movie?
Those $4 billion deals seem so cheap, don't
I
they?
I know.
I mean, I know
Looking
we've
back
said
on
it back
I said
the
it,
time.
Like, at the moment they signed the deal, I'm like, that's it?
That's yep. a ton of money.
That's
but
it?
If you think the first Force Awakens made $2 billion,
yep.
not to mention merchandise,
right,
which is off the
exactly.
chain.
Yep.
They had Rogue One, which made another, probably, what, $700-800 million?
No,
did that make
a billion?
I
think it did.
You know, but then they also bought Marvel on the other side, and they've been making all that. So it's like, they bought each of them for $4 billion.
Is that what they bought Marvel for
yeah.
four?
It was another four. So
and they made that back in
oh.
three movies?
Oh, my gosh.
Four movies?
And toys
yeah.
or whatever.
Oh, all of it. And comics.
Yeah.
Like that's,
well, do they... I guess.
I'm sure they get a cut of it.
Yeah.
So she takes Abe Sapien home, and for whatever reason, she decides to bang him within like 6 hours. Like the thing gets out of the water, and she's just like,
"Yeah,
yep."
And isn't this where she plugs in? Is
yeah,
this
yeah. She like she.
That's what he just said.
Yeah. she takes no. I think this is. No, so she...
They just do that
they
to have,
do
like,
that
a little swimming...
First. No, they don't even do that. Like, just do it outside of the tub.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't bang in water?
No.
That's just, like, a fun they, little moment for them when
yeah.
they do the water? Okay.
Yes.
She gives them a fin job.
Right, right. Because...
But she doesn't have fins. She would have to have fins to give them a fin job.
No.
Don't ruin my joke.
I'm just calling you out. If we're going to talk about fin jobs, we got, you know...
She can give them a fin job.
No. She doesn't have fins.
She doesn't have fins.
Yeah, but nobody has a blowhole either.
No. But you can blow.
That's true.
See? So you can give a blowjob.
Ta-da.
Anyway, moving on. So they have sex out of the water. Just
yeah, because the second time they have... Because like she goes to work the next day, remember? And she
does
just,
she go or does she... Never mind.
I don't know what his skills
Which
are.
Way?
I have no
Which
idea.
Way? Okay.
So she goes to work and like tells Octavia Spencer that she fucked a fish,
and she like she is so
Octavia
happy.
Octavia Spencer
her.
Is
she's
a
like,
is about
she's like,
it.
She's like, oh, how does that work? Is it like? And I think does she say it's like a dolphin or something? Like
I don't know.
It
she's
retracts,
like she's
or,
like yeah. she goes like she makes her hands into like a shield, then she opens the
it.
Shield and then just goes and takes her like index fingers like.
Whoop. Yeah, I think yeah. she's trying to say that it's like I think dolphins retract. You know, dogs. I guess like. Some animals are inside.
Marshall,
no. Oh, God. But some animal, it's inside. And so yeah. I think they're basically talking about this thing's retractable wiener. And then Octavia Spencer's like, ooh. Like
I'm
this
surprised
is some,
that she was
does
like,
he have a friend?
Yeah, I'm yeah, like, it's like a baby's arm
are you
holding
guys,
an apple.
Are you guys like a thing? Or is that...
is it exclusive?
Like, is this open?
You tell me.
Are like, there rules in the fish screwing world? Or?
Looking for a third?
Yeah. So then... Like Michael Shannon is trying to figure out what happened. They think it was like a team of
get in line, Michael Shannon,
along with the rest of us during yeah. this movie. So they think it's like a team of Russians that have like a strike team that has broken in and taken everything.
I really like when he's talking to the general or whoever's in the laboratory, and the next day they're clocking in. Octavia Spencer and the mute girl are clocking in, and when they're talking, they're in the background just through the glass, and they're like, you know, it's got to be the Russians. We got to find this person.
And these two,
and
she's in the background, just like,
yeah, it's a good shot.
Is a super Looney Tune moment. It exactly what it like. I can almost guarantee you that's been in a Looney Tune cartoon where he's like, I know it was these people, but it's like the people walking, but you know, it's the people walking behind you.
It's also very, I mean, that's a pretty big trope in film in general. When there's like
some struggles there, buddy.
I can't keep it up.
Well, the fish head.
Can't tell if it's the movie
does not have that problem. Yeah. So
the microphone, to clarify for the listeners,
we know it's fine.
Yeah.
So he's trying to figure it out. He has this super rapey moment with his own wife, where like he goes home and he's had like he's hooked on pain pills because his fingers are all gnarly and gross, and his wife is like into it, like she is down for whatever he wants to do. And
so is it rapey then? I can't remember this scene. Like,
so this is the scene where like, so she goes, why don't you finish your breakfast, get the kids to
school.
No,
she's DTF, but it's
down to clown.
Yeah, he starts to bleed on her.
Yeah, and then she's like, oh, honey, your fingers. He's like, don't talk. And like puts his creepy, stubby fingers like into her mouth.
Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. It was pretty gross.
It's a gangrene bang.
It was. And man.
It's a bang green.
It's a bang green.
Hold on.
What's happening?
What does that have to do with jingle bells?
Yeah.
Well, I just noticed it was a holiday. It's the holidays, guys.
It is the holidays. That's true. So he goes to work. And now, since our main character doesn't talk, he's kind of like, so you don't speak at all, huh? He's like, that's kind of hot. I like that in my women. And I was like, you don't like your women that speak?
Yeah.
All right. That's.
I like women that can't testify. I mean, that's what he was saying.
That's basically what he was saying. Yeah. So she kind of gets herself out of there. I think somebody else walks in, and she's like, I got to go. I got to get myself out of this situation, pronto.
And she's like, you don't know how happy I am to see you.
Yeah, right. I was like, what? She doesn't talk, Kevin.
Yet.
Oh, God. That's a thing that happens. Like, when that happened, I was like, nope, I'm out. I probably would have stuck with this. I wouldn't have liked it. But I wouldn't have hated it, and now I hate it. So she goes. This is the scene where she goes back home, and she strips again and takes like towels and stuffs them under the door, like just the bottom of the door, not the sides,
right?
Or the top.
Other than that, this room is airtight,
completely
watertight. Speaking of airtight,
it's certainly not watertight.
<That's right.
laughs> Yeah, little did you know, she wasn't even running the water when it filled up.
That's pretty good. So somehow she manages to fill up her entire bathroom with water, and then they bang in the water.
So they bang again in this scene.
I forgot, from my memory, they tried
to block it out that they had banged previously, then did an underwater bang.
No. So now the owner comes
it's
up.
Like one for her, one for him. It's
basically,
fair.
Yeah, it's fair. Fairness. One take, yeah. You just owe me later.
Right.
So that the...
If we were in Germany, you'd have to make my bunk.
Right. The road forks you.
Yeah.
The owner of the... You know, there's water leaking everywhere that we think is water. And
not a bit to drink.
Not a square to spare. So the owner's just like, get her, you know, to the neighbor, to what's his name?
Richard Jenkins.
Yeah. He's like, what is going on? He's like, oh, she must have fallen asleep. I don't know.
He got her pregnant. Her water broke.
it's like the larva that Gina Davis gives birth to in The Fly 2. Is it The Fly 2?
Fly 1. Fly 2 is...
Fly 2 is the kid. Is Eric Stoltz.
That's Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. That's a weird movie. The first one's weird enough.
Yeah.
The second one's even weirder.
Produced by Mel Brooks.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Didn't put his name on it. So
just because they're just like, no.
His name's in the credits, but not
a
book.
Yeah, title. Not Mel Brooks Presents The Fly. Oh, great. His penis just fell off. I thought this was going to be a comedy. Comedy of errors. They just didn't know. So they... Somehow this wooden door is able to hold, I don't know, thousands of gallons of water.
I mean, if you can get past all the creepy interspecies creature screwing. Like,
I mean,
it's a beautiful
true.
Looking movie.
No, I agree. Like, Del Toro definitely has an eye.
All his stuff visually is always amazing.
Yeah.
He is a great eye for this stuff, and it's very well done. The camera work, but also the real practical effects mm-hmm. that they use, fantastic.
Doug Jones. I mean, the creature I think is the best part of the movie. Like, I think he looks like that. I'm a nerd for practical effects, yeah. So. The fact that they did that without, with the exception of probably the eyes.
Yeah, the eyes looked a little, I mean, I don't think that was mechanical. It looked too sleek.
Too
the way, like the eyelids,
yeah,
double out, whatever.
I would agree.
But yeah, but the practical effects were fantastic. So
yeah, I mean,
no arguments there.
Look at Pan's Labyrinth and the Hellboy 1 and 2. Like everything in those movies are all practical and they look fantastic.
Have you seen Kronos? His first film?
I'm almost positive I have.
It's really good. So it's kind of like a vampire.
Thing, right?
Yeah, it's the bug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a vampire film.
Yeah.
It's really freaking good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go back and watch that.
So they realize that somehow they're able to predict the amount of rain that's going to show up in this town because they're going to take the creature to the...
Yeah, I wondered about that. I was like, oh, we'll have enough rain by the 10th. I'm like, what?
That's a random date, but all
right. Farmer's Almanac, right?
I mean, if the Sportsman Almanac has taught me anything, it's that, you know...
It only works if you have one from the future.
Have you started watching Mr. Robot?
No.
No, so you haven't watched any of it?
No.
Season 3, there's so many Back to the Future references. They're
really?
Dealing with some... Yes. You need to...
Is Biff in it?
It's so good. That is a reference in it.
That he's really Donald Trump?
there's a lot of different Back to the Future references.
We have to go Back to the Future and stop him from getting the almanac.
Seriously, you guys would love... You don't watch Mr. Robot either, do you? It is a really fantastic show. It is so well written, so well acted. There's lots of twists and things you don't predict. Like, it's a smart show, and you know, got to plug it. I do the podcast.
That guy will be Freddie Mercury
in
the pick you'll never see ever.
He'll figure out a way to finish it.
Oh, man.
Rami Malek's so good. But listen to... We have show spoilers. And where me and Roger Roper, who's a host of another podcast that you may have heard, Shat the Movie, Shat on TV, we talk about it week to week. And I'm telling you guys right now, for the listeners, for you guys, if you're not watching Mr. Robot, that's up there with Game of Thrones, Westworld. I mean, it's good television. So,
well, I came in super late on all of those.
Yeah.
So maybe
you just got to catch up. Just binge it. Yeah.
So now I'm trying to think how Michael Shannon figures out. He's looking at, like, their time cards. He's like, nope, you guys punched out beforehand. Like, you're good to go. Somehow he figures out that they were there. So he goes to...
He tortures the Russian guy to tell them, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. He follows the Russian guy.
Figures out
he's
double
a spy.
Agent, yeah.
And he shoots him in the gut and then tortures him into figure out, you know, he's like, you they're right under your nose. The people that clean the entire thing the entire time. So he goes to see Octavia Spencer and her husband... He kind of like busts in their house and he gets in Octavia Spencer's face. And this is where he pulls off his own fingers.
Ugh.
Now that is Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
Like, that's old school del Toro.
Is this after he's already like taken the pus?
So like you can
squeeze.
So they've already turned black and he squeezes like at the knuckle. He squeezes the goop out of it. And now he pulls them both off and throws them across the room. And this is where the husband's like, it was the mute. The mute girl did it.
He's like, I don't want any of this in my house.
I got to tell you, if a guy pulls his fingers off in my house, what do you want to know, man?
Yeah.
Whatever gets you out of here the quickest.
Yeah. I'll tell you whatever you want.
I don't need this.
Yeah, that's exactly what I... Nope. So now Shannon's on his way to... Hopefully that was not a person.
Yeah.
To see the... I feel like we should at least know her name and not the mute.
Sally Hawkins.
Thank you.
Is the actress's name.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The character's name is Eliza.
Okay. So he goes to Eliza, and she, Octavia Spencer, frantically has to call her, and she kind of like bitches out her husband, where he's just like, what were you, why would you do that? He's like, if it were me, I'd be like, he pulled his fingers off. What do you want from me?
We need to move this forward, this story forward.
Yeah.
Also,
this podcast.
Yeah, this guy means business. He pulled his fingers off. Like, he's probably going to kill us, so I'm telling him whatever he wants.
Yeah. There's no way to come back from that. I don't know what to tell you. So he gets to the apartment and they're already gone. They have left. They're going to take... This is... So before we get there, this is this stupid musical interlude. And I got to tell you. So I've watched Abbott and Costello. I've watched the Marx Brothers. I've watched all of those old comedy duos because I think they're hilarious. Whenever they would get to one of these, boop.
Fast forward.
Done. Like, can we get to the next part?
Except for Buck Privates.
Oh, really?
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. You don't fast forward through Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
You're right. You don't.
That's a great song.
I skipped the entire scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fast forward.
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy is like an all-time great American standard. That's a great song.
I'm not disagreeing about the song. I just want to get to see those two guys.
You think Joe's cultured? Come on.
Yeah, no.
But other than that, he turns on WWE when that comes on.
But other than
literally,
that,
yeah. Still, like, well, I'm going to flip over to the network.
The other thing, too, is in those comedy movies, the musical numbers were pretty substandard compared to the musical numbers that you would get in main in bigger movies.
Sure.
Because the comedians were typically B pictures. So part of but it was unusual. Like, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, it is an all-time great song. And, like, that was kind of surprising. Like, that doesn't normally happen in those movies. They're normally in the comedies, those songs are pretty forgettable, but they felt like, in the way that, you know, in the, you know, sometimes you feel like every movie needs to have a car chase.
Right.
That's how musical numbers were back then.
Everybody had to have one.
Yeah.
So I think in a better movie, I would have liked it because I like surrealist films and art house weird stuff. So, like, when she breaks into a dance, like, I like it, but I just didn't like the movie. So I'm like,
So we get to the dam, I guess, is where they are.
Yeah, and the damn movie.
Michael Shannon shows up, shoots Eliza. I think he shoots the creature a bunch of times.
Right.
This is the other thing that bugs me in movies is when guys use revolvers and never reload. 5 shots or 6, depending on the revolver.
Yeah, even fish reloaded.
You have to. That's true. Oh. It's a 5-minute refractory period.
Right, yeah.
Load them up.
Get him some orange juice.
But yeah, so like, and he never reloads.
I think the scene Brad Hyland's really not going to like is when he eats a tadpole.
Well, isn't that what they do? That's a normal thing.
That was a bit much. Is,
yeah.
Don't eat the larva.
Don't eat the larva. I'm trying to think. He gets, so, and then Shannon gets shot. But I don't remember who shoots him.
No, he doesn't get shot. Richard Jenkins pops back up and conks him in the back of the head.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then the fish, we never really addressed the fish has some sort of magical healing fish powers.
Yeah. Is that a thing? I don't know.
Is that a thing?
Well, I mean, like, you know, like, no. So, well, I mean, Joe. Like, lizards can regenerate over, like.
Yeah, but he heals other people. That's magic.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But I mean, like, do fish have that kind of ability?
Yeah, it's like he's got a fish oil supplement that
he'll sell it to you for two easy payments of $49.99, and they'll give you 2.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Or he'll throw in a free one if you finger his blowhole.
There it is. Oh. Just in the gills.
Yeah.
So he takes her in the water.
So I got to tell you, there was, so they keep referencing these scratch marks on her neck.
Which I'm like, she's got gills too.
I was like, he did it. He scratched her.
She, like, had them from birth or from the surgeries.
Did they say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Every time they showed those, and especially in the water, I mean, I said it out loud. I'm like, oh, gills.
Gills. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. Perfect. Gillman from Monster Squad, who this creature sort of looks like as well.
Well, there's only so many variations on the creature from Black Lagoon. There's
you can't really go any further.
Not a lot of room for modifications.
No, that's
true. You put in power windows or something.
Have we found a movie that's worse than Monster Squad?
Yes.
No.
Yo, get out of here.
Good. I mean, I asked that expecting no, but I just wanted to throw it out.
Yeah,
there.
Just to be clear, no, we did not.
Yes, we have. So now the creature stands up and heals himself and just cuts the throat of Michael
Shannon.
Just
rips his larynx out.
He was like, you know what? I'm done with this garbage.
See, it's irony because now he can't talk either.
That's
right. He doesn't have
now
a voice
box.
Now
he no longer has a voice
box. And now he'll have to screw for his fish creatures. Yeah.
It's like, no, please just put it in my butt. I don't know.
What?
I just put my voice box back.
I don't know.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Okay. I would shake a maraca if I weren't so confused.
Yeah. It's much like this movie. So Eliza is dead, basically, I think. And so he picks up the body, jumps into the water, and gives her gills and somehow heals her bullet wounds as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, it doesn't happen to Richard, whatever his name is, immediately. Like, he wakes up the next day.
Yeah, it takes a little bit.
It doesn't happen to her either, right? He scratches her arm, and then, like, it wasn't immediate, but the next day she takes a bandage
off. And his hair starts to grow back.
But, like, she immediately pops back up alive in the water.
Well, maybe she wasn't dead, but just the breathing
that
underwater.
Could be. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. And that's how it ends. Like, it ends with them in, like, this dark water.
You'd think all those, like, bullet wounds jumping into salt water
would hurt.
You'd be like, ow.
Yeah, can we not jump into salt water? Yeah. And they just kind of float there for a second together.
And ta-da.
And ta-da.
I mean, this was, why do people love this movie other than this is like people saying, Tarantino, I love everything he does. And I mean, this is Del Toro
thing,
that has a following.
I love Del Toro.
It's a great looking movie. Yeah.
That's true. It is. But like,
let's call it what it is. This is not a great movie.
It's fish porn. I don't know what else to call it. Like, I didn't enjoy it. No.
Don't, if your date likes this movie, don't take her to Red Lobster.
Please don't. Or do?
Or do?
I don't know.
She won't want to eat the food.
That's true.
You won't want to know what she's going to do with the...
Honey, what are you doing with those breadsticks?
Yeah. What are you doing with those breadsticks? Don't judge me.
Oh, you said you were a shellfish lover.
I'm sorry. I was
totally
confused.
Misread that.
I was totally confused with what just happened.
So,
yeah.
So, on review aggregator Rotten Tomatoes, the film has 95% based on 122 reviews with the average rating of 8.4. I mean, so for all intents and purposes, this is an excellently reviewed film.
And we're just juvenile.
That is possible.
Let's not rule that out as
like,
an
I, what I'm saying is I knew from the beginning, like I said, we're in the very, very minority. And I also don't feel we're wrong, but... We are in the minority.
Yeah.
Here.
No, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that. What was the one where it's just like, this movie's not very good, but you should see it anyway. The Butler.
Yeah, The Butler was like that. But that was more politically driven.
Right.
Like, this is an important movie. And then I even said at the time, as soon as 12 Years a Slave comes out, they're going to stop because 12 Years a Slave is
an
a good
important
movie.
And
they were like, and then that The Butler just got forgotten. Yeah.
Yeah.
As well it should have been.
Right.
So.
And this is, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not a fan at all.
Yeah. It was just like I said, good looking movie.
You know
what? Just the story is just, it's a head scratch.
If you see it and we missed everything and you loved it, just tell us. Like, we would love to hear from you. We're not against hearing the other side. So, you know, defend it. Tell us why you loved it. And maybe we missed the whole important story and it's brilliant. But.
But we didn't, so it's fine.
Yeah. So. Well, I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
Hey, this is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and listen to Show Spoilers where we discuss Mr. Robot.
I've already plugged it once.
Yeah. You're like the fish man.
Double plug.
Double plug.
I mean, that's following suit.
So I think the problem that Joe had with this movie is that it blows the reality that he knows. It just blew it up because in order for this movie to work, the fish man had to have nards.
That's true.
What do you even do with that?
I don't know.
What do you even do with that?
I was not prepared for this sort of
fish man's got nards.
Fish man's got nards.
So. He's going to watch Monster Squad in a completely different way now.
Yeah.
The whole time.
He's reinvented the wheel.
Fish man had nards.
Well,
and
you can find
challenge accepted
on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find us online, you can do so on Facebook at facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers or on our website, RealSpoilers.com. Find us on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, the U.S. Navy offers a commission to Henry Limpet.
Popular love songs. Hey, you fell for the princess.
She's like me, creature from another world.
You need to get out more.
She's alone in the world. I want to help her. I need to care for her.
You're in love. Have a beer.
No, my body is a temple.
Well, now it's an amusement park.
No. The glandular balance.
Just shut up and drink it, will you?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.